listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, we got CarCast coming up. We're going to chat about some McLarens. I'm going to tell you something exciting that I'm going to be doing with McLaren that, well, mostly exciting for me, but it'll be good. And a little TRX news the range and EPA numbers we've got for the Mustang Mach-E, the Bronco Sport, and a couple more driving events coming up soon. So we're going to bring you some cool stuff for December before we take a break for the holidays. But before we get started, we all know that Dodge means horsepower and muscle. But did you know that J.D. Power ranked Dodge number one for initial quality? Well, J.D. Power also named Dodge the automotive company with the best driver appeal for mass market brands. That's number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. It's the first time a domestic automotive brand has run away with both awards in the same year. And that's enough style and horsepower and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true. It's no wonder that Dodge has taken up all these awards. There's never been a better time now to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. See your local Dodge dealer today or visit Dodge.com. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndre here with Bill Goldberg. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. It's almost Thanksgiving.
It's almost Thanksgiving. Well, you get to eat because you're in Texas. in California, I don't think we get to do anything. We can't go home. We can't have friends over. We can't go to restaurants. We can't travel. We can't do anything. So who knows what we're gonna do out here. It's gonna be
Jesus. I heard you can get like a Popeye's chicken, you know, like Popeye's, but then they send it to you and you just gotta put it in the oven or something.
That's so it. That's the Hunger like, Man, the TV dinners. I'm gonna pull the foil off the top.
That's going way down deep, man.
Yeah. Remember the Hungry Man? That was the thing, the Salisbury steak. Yeah,
so the restaurants mashed potatoes they were like water.
Oh, they were frozen 3 minutes earlier, right? So now you have to stab it with a fork and then minute and a half and then turn it the other direction, another minute and a half. But we got some interesting news for you guys today I want to get into. But first, just a friend, word from our friends at Dodge. We all know that Dodge means horsepower and muscle, but you also know that Dodge is now ranked number one for initial quality. And J.D. Power also named Dodge the automotive company with the best driver appeal for mass markets. So there's never been a better time now to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. See your local Dodge dealer today or visit Dodge.com. Speaking of,
holy
I saw your video.
Horsepower.
Oh, I saw your video. And it's funny because I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's your car. That's your property. Dodge made a last minute call on this one going, hey, can you do a thing for us? We'd love you to do it. And you're like, I got some errands to run anyway. Might as well fire up one of the cars and yell at the camera.
Wait till I show all the I don't know. I call them outtakes, screw ups, man. I mean, there was no one here. I had to tape my phone. So it had to be vertical, right? On your phone. So I had to tape I couldn't use a GoPro. I had to tape the phone to a ladder. You know, and find an even spot right by the tire marks that I had already laid so I don't ruin my entire driveway. And then I'm catching hell for everybody for the week takeoff, right? And so I sent Dodge two versions. So I sent one in the red eye so that you could actually hear me and I wouldn't have to yell over the black car.
Yeah.
But the takeoff in the red eye was gnarly, dude. The one in the black car, that black car is so sketchy, I just would have slid right off my driveway because, you know, so I only got like 6 inches of runoff, extra room on the side of that thing. But give me a break, boys.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was fun. But as soon as I saw it, I knew exactly what happened. I was like, oh, Dodge just called and said, can you do this thing? There wasn't even like, they didn't send a cameraman or anything. I thought maybe Gage was holding up, but he's so busy all the time now.
Not even.
With sports, I was like, oh, yeah, he just shot that. I thought it worked out good. I saw it all over Twitter today and Instagram now.
It was perfect, though, because, you know, I already had the tire marks you know, set there. So I had a mark. So all I had to do, I mean, you know, it was what it was. It was 22 seconds of, yeah, you know, whatever I could do. So,
all right.
Hey, so, it was an honor. It was an honor to get the phone call to be the guy to do it. So
I know you guys bust our chops all the time about the show being full of Ford news and Dodge news. Well, I've got some bad news for you. That's the only news that's popped up on my radar recently is Ford and Dodge news. So I've got some more stuff on that. But I will lead with this. I'm going to lead with this because I was going to save this to the end of the show, but I got excited about it as I was talking about it with the guys over in the other shop. I talked to my friends at McLaren, and I said, hey, I'd really love to drive that new McLaren GT. It's been out for a little while.
So do you know which finger? Can you tell which finger I'm holding up behind this one?
I imagine, but you're
an asshole.
No. Hold on. You're going to hate me even more in a second.
I know. I already hate you.
I said, can I drive the McLaren GT? And they said, that would be fantastic. We're going to send you one over. And I said, now, you know, I also know that that awesome 765 LT that's been running around. And they said, yeah, we've got a few guys in it. We can get you a couple days in that car. And then our buddy Roger, who's the head of communications, the head of marketing, PR over there, he sent me an email and he said, hey, how about this? He's like, we'll put you in the GT and we'll put you in the 765 LT. And he goes, and then for one day, less than a day, 6 hours, as we're swapping the two cars, we'll bring you a Senna. You can drive a Senna. Bill's gone. he fell over. He passed out. So I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be fantastic.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I drove the Senna at Bondurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove the hell out of it. So
yeah, I remember.
If you get to drive it half as hard as I drove it, then...
Well, we don't have a track. Yeah, we don't have a track or anything like that. But you know, they're going to bring one car like in the morning. You know what they do is they pick up one car and then they'll drop off one, and then later in the evening.
Yeah, please go into detail because I don't get these finer things in life like you get. So everybody, including myself, would love to know every detail about how they're going to deliver, you know, these absolutely wonderful cars to you.
Well, it's interesting because people have asked me several times, like, hey, I'm trying to get into the, you know, to the automotive world, trying to be, you know, a content creator. I don't want to say journalist anymore because by no means do I think of myself as a journalist. We're on the entertainment side of the business. We don't do all the track testing. We don't do some of that stuff that this is why we have Alistair come in, right? Why we have him come in every month, because on their side, they really do have a format of everything that they work on, everything that they test, how they write things up, as a journalist should do. We're on the entertainment side. We share our opinions. We share our thoughts, things we like, things we don't like. But how do you get on the list to drive press cars? And honestly, I think it's a little bit easier these days than it was, you know, 10 years ago because list was exclusive to the journalists.
Yeah.
Us getting into the podcasting world and creating a show, we're probably one of the first to go outside the box and say, we want to feature some cars. So back when I started asking for cars, you got to reach out to the manufacturers. I know some people work with dealers and they get the test drive through dealers and feature cars, and that's good for the dealers as well. We do it all on the manufacturer level. And I remember that we started asking a few of the manufacturers if we can get on the list. There's no rush. We'd like to feature a car, bring it in here. And once we did that, they said, yeah, it sounds interesting. And then they called around to other publications that we're friendly with and got referrals, like, and said, what do you think of these guys and whatever, you know, even back in the day, they spoke to companies like Edmunds and, you know, they said, hey, you know, I know the guys have been on the show. They're stand-up guys. Sure. It's worth a shot. They're doing something different. And that's kind of where we are, but it's not, now a lot of influencers are getting it, you know, it's kind of funny because
kind of funny?
It's more than funny. It's bizarre because I know that there are car manufacturers. I spoke to one of them. And they said, hey, you know, our people want to send this influencer a car. And then the delivery company, they're just like an event company. So there's like four or five of them in LA, and there are other places as well, Chicago, New York, you know, San Francisco. And they maintain the fleet of vehicles for the manufacturers. They deliver them to us. They pick them up and things like that. And I remember them delivering, I don't want to say the manufacturer of the car, but they delivered a high-end supercar to an influencer, and they thought this was going to be a home run, millions of followers. When they got there, kid didn't have a license. He had to get his mom to sign the paperwork. And they called him, the delivery people, they go, hey, you know, I'm here, I'm delivering the car. You know, this kid doesn't have a license. You know, I don't know, like, how he can film, like, in his driveway, but his mom's got to drive him around. And they're like, yeah, we're going to give it a try anyway. I was like, all right, fine. So, needless to say, I do have a license. It is valid. I've had it for many, many years. And I'm excited about driving three McLarens next week.
Hey.
And they're not going to be in the right order, so it's going to be a little weird, but I'm going to present it to you guys in the right order. We're going to go GT 765 Senna, because I feel like somewhere in the middle is going to be Senna and then GT, and I'm going to be like, it doesn't feel quite as fast.
Can we, you know, as much as it pains me to say it, can we get back to the Ford and the Dodge conversation?
Yes,
please?
Yes, we will. All right. So, speaking of driving events, I also have coming up in the next few weeks. We're trying to get some events done. The manufacturers and us get some events done before the end of the year. We talked about F-150. We went out and drove it, took it off road, and towed it, and all that stuff. I got Bronco Sport, not full Bronco, but I got Bronco Sport, which is going to be cool. I think there's a virtual event for Nissan, so it's not going to be a driving event, but there's going to be another an announcement from them. But the next driving event, so Bronco Sport and then Mustang Mach-E. I went to the presentation. I was in one of them, went for a ride, and now they've got them out, and they're letting us drive them. So I'm actually very interested in driving that as well. It's not a comparison against Mustangs. It's a comparison against other SUVs in that segment, other electric cars in that segment. Like, I think it's got a good look to it. It's got a good profile on it.
I'm very curious about the vehicle.
Yeah, I think it's an important vehicle for Ford as well. And, you know, companies like GM, you don't expect it. GM said they're going to have something like 20 or 30 EVs in their lineup at some point. They want to be the leader in making EVs, you know. So things are going to change. Things are definitely going to change. And, of course, you know, Gavin Newsom very famously out here said no more combustion engine vehicles can be sold after, I don't know, 2035 or something like that. It doesn't take away our muscle cars and our trucks and our fun stuff. It just means no new things will happen. There's going to be a lot of, you know, we've made this argument before. It's like the more you threaten to take away something from us, the more we want to have it. So I'm counting on companies like Ford and Dodge and, you know, and the supercar companies to some extent, still producing gas engine vehicles, hybrid vehicles, you know, things like that to satiate our horsepower needs and sound and power. But don't be surprised if we're all driving as daily drivers at some point, some sort of EV or maybe hybrid, but at some point it's going to be EV. So
at some
point. Anyway, that's the direction we're heading. We were talking about McLaren, and we said that McLaren was going to go to some sort of hybrid platform for all of their vehicles. They're called high performance hybrids. HPH is what they're calling it. And the first one in their lineup is Artura is going to be the new vehicle. Now, it looks a little bit like the current lineup, but they're saying the architecture on this thing is completely ground up and designed for electrification. It will have their new twin-turbo V6 that we talked about a while back, but also electric motors and battery power and things like that. I'm kind of fine with seeing some of that stuff. I'm not opposed to seeing a cool muscle car have...
From McLaren, yeah.
From
a company like McLaren.
I would be interested in seeing something. Maybe don't start in the muscle car world with Mustang or Challenger, but I'm interested in seeing, Charger being the four-door version. That could be interesting as a supercharged or turbocharged V8 with hybrid technology, right? Mm-hmm. If there was a way...
I could see that soon.
That's a big engine in the front of the vehicle, so if you wanted to do an all-wheel drive version with electric motors in the front, you'd have to make some room for it someplace. But I could see something like that happening, certainly we have super hot SUVs that are out there, the Trackhawk, the Jeep Trackhawk, and now the Hellcat version of the Durango, which is bigger. It's a three-row vehicle. I can definitely see, because now you have so much more room on that platform, doing a hybrid version of that, but not just...
Don't think that it's not in the plans. They probably don't have one right now.
Right, but not the... Not the everyday version. I want to see the hot version. I want to see the Hellcat hybrid version of it, you know?
Well, you know Dodge and you know Ford, so you know they're doing it.
And I think other companies will follow suit. I think you'll see it. Look, the Porsches and Maseratis and Alfa Romeos and the upcoming Ferrari, SUV. It stands to reason that those companies would probably have some sort of high performance hybrid version of their SUVs as well. So, anyway, that being said, we've got a little information on the Ford Mustang Mach-E. The Mach-E's range, usually we say, hey, what's the miles per gallon? But the range basically came in with 211 miles to 300 miles is the range. And this is on par with what their predictions were. You know, it's literally within 1 or 2 miles of what their predictions are. This is the EPA range estimates for the vehicle. And we know there's the standard version and there's the GT. And there's going to be the two-wheel drives and the four-wheel drives or all-wheel drive. You understand what I'm saying. And two different battery versions. I believe there's the 75.7 kilowatt and the 98.8 kilowatt version. So the ranges will vary depending on the configuration of the vehicle, the Mustang Mach-E. So I believe the standard rear wheel drive single motor is 255 horsepower, and that'll be about 230 miles range. And the electric motor, the second motor adds 332 horsepower total. So from 255 to 332. And then the standard vehicle all-wheel drive range is going to be 211 miles. So the all-wheel drive version obviously has a little fewer miles on the range than the two-wheel drive version. And then when you step up to the GT and you get the bigger battery... the rear-wheel drive version is 282 horsepower, 300-mile range, and the all-wheel drive version is 332 horsepower, 270-mile range. So if you want the ultimate drift vehicle and you want the rear-wheel drive and lighter weight, you can get the 300-mile range and I think you can get it with the 282 horsepower rear wheel drive, but you want to do the all wheel drive. It's about 270 mile on the range in its largest GT form. So, that's I misspoke. The GT will have the performance models of the GT will have 459 horsepower and 612 pound feet of torque. So, everybody's getting into the fast charging and the Mach-E's DC fast charging hookup. If you have a 150 kilowatt source, you can replenish 47 miles in 10 minutes. But again, you need the infrastructure to make that happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, Mach-E.
Those are all pretty impressive numbers, though.
It'll be fine. I think it'll be fine. Listen, if you're in LA and you live in an apartment, you can only charge at work or going to, you know, public charging stations. I still don't think the infrastructure is there. That's not a fault of these car companies yet. It's just a fault of everything else involved. But if you're going to charge at home, I think these 270 mile, 300 mile ranges are probably going to be fine. And if you can do some sort of quick charging at home, it's fine. And we've always said, look, if you're going on a road trip and you don't have another car, it's just go to Enterprise and rent a Tahoe or something like that. You're going to want the extra space anyway, right? Like, just it's, you know, if
you're buying the factored in the drain on the batteries for the time sitting in traffic in LA, or are they all just completely turned off and they're,
you know, that is part of the calculations. Like when we talk to guys like Alistair again, they do talk about the EPA's a rating of range. And then their rating, they sort of design their own loop out here in LA that it combines traffic and highway and city. And it turns out the car companies are recognizing that. They're trying to make this range thing as accurate as possible. And I would imagine there's something going on with the vehicle that it calculates stuff on the fly. It used to be like, I remember driving an early model Nissan Leaf, and I get in it, and it says 100-mile range. And I was doing 70 miles an hour on the freeway, and it was actually, that's what was eating the battery. And I got, you know, 52 miles into it, and the car just stopped. And so I think now they're building in a certain amount of buffer, right? I think the software is able to do things like, hey, we need to back off on the battery, and we need to, like, get, if it's constantly thinking, you know, hey, we're telling the user it's 300 mile range, we need to try to hit that number. The software is saying we need to hit that number as closely as possible. Yeah. Granted, you know, aside from a track day, right? And it's calculating. It's a little bit like having a couple of reserve gallons of fuel, you know, in a car. Like, you know, we drive the cars all the time, and you got the little distance to empty meter, and now it's just flashing at you, and you're like, oh, I'm going to run out of gas. And you realize, yeah, you've got 40 more miles, you know, but it's trying to give you some amount of buffer. I think that's probably happening on the software side of these things. So it can try to get as much range. And the other reason why that theory, I think, holds up is because somebody like Tesla can say, hey, you know, there was floods in Texas, so we're going to do a software update and give everybody on their, Teslas in Texas, you know, whatever, 30 miles of extra range, right? Because it is possible, right? What we're trying to do is come up with the cars that have a certain amount of performance, especially when you're looking at, you know, Teslas or Mach-E GTs, you know, a certain amount of performance numbers that it needs to meet and range. But I'm sure through some sort of software or calculations being happening, or even trying to hyper mile drive it as a user, you can change that number because there's some flexibility in what's happening. But, you know, what the car companies don't want is what happened to me in a Nissan Leaf years ago.
Well, no question.
You know, that I don't want to read 100 miles and go, hey, I'm in Irvine, I've got 80 miles to go, and I'm just driving on the freeway. And I went 57 miles, and this thing's on the side of the road. I'm like, this is a vehicle of lies. It's just a bucket of lies. Why am I stuck on the side of the road? But anyway, so that's what's going on.
I'd say in the beginning they were more projections, and now they got to be held to it. You know, because it's a finite number that everyone's shooting for.
Yes. You know, and we talk about the EPA standards, how as a company, not a particular vehicle, we need to meet miles per gallon goals. We need to meet these CAFE standards, and especially in California, for emissions and fuel economy. And the way it works, and as most of you know, as you're listening to this, you understand how it works. It's not what's the fuel mileage on your Porsche 911, it's on the entire company. And Porsche is owned by VW, so you got to sell a bunch of great economical VWs to account for the Porsches and things like that. So that being said, as much as we want Raptors and Broncos and lift kits and 35-inch tires on the off-road trucks, how do you compensate for that? You do it with Bronco Sport in this example, and Bronco Sport will have the 1.5-liter engine and the 2-liter engine, and the figures on those are now, they came out 25 miles per gallon city, 28 highway with the Bronco Sport 1.5, and 21 city, 26 highway with the 2-liter turbo Bronco Sport. I don't know how those engines are going to be. They sound tiny to me, but I'm looking forward to driving the Bronco Sport. I think
Can-Am's got a bigger engine than that.
I know. we got a few weeks before I will be able to get out there and drive those, but we'll give you some feedback on that. And then hopefully we'll be able to get in the full Bronco as well at some point. Now,
how do you think the feedback from that's going to be compared to the Raptor Killer, what you're about to say right now?
The Raptor Killer? What are you talking about? What is this Raptor Killer you speak
lead
of?
Into it. That was a good lead in.
It is a good lead in. I love the little Easter eggs that they're putting all over the TRX where the T-Rex is eating the Raptor. I just love the banter between these companies. So,
hey, man, like you said many, many times before, it breeds competition. And it's just, you know, it benefits, you know, meatheads or gearheads like you.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to tell you guys about some TRX stuff because – people are testing them now. The embargo's lifted. We're getting some feedback on them. Before I hit that, a word from our friends at Geico. Do you own your home or you rent your home? Either way, it can be a lot of hard work over there. But you know what's easy? It's bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, so TRX. This is what we learned about TRX is, well, first of all, that's fantastic. Everybody that's been driving them and taking them off-road and even driving them around town saying a lot of thought has been put into this. Everyone's having the blast with it. Fuel mileage be damned. That's not why you're doing it.
12?
I think 12 if you're 12. if you're trying to
if you're coasting.
If you're going downhill.
but who cares? You know, I mean,
it's going to be a fantastic toy for those who can. I'd say afford one, but also can. Find a road where you could fit one, find a garage where you could fit one, or maybe a piece of property or something. It's been interesting to hear that there's actually not a ton of Ram 1500 in this. The entire chassis and everything's been beefed up significantly. Because
what, a quarter of it is 1500?
Yeah, because they really want it to be durable. Now, the result of that is... is a truck that's 6,350 pounds. It's about 600 pounds more than a Ram 1500. And it's actually...
the round bale.
Yeah, and if you think about it, 6,350 pounds for the TRX. The Ram Rebel 4x4, which is close... it's 5,400 pounds. It's almost 1,000 pounds less. And the Raptor Super Crew is only 5,700 pounds. So it's interesting, but they had to beef it up. It's got the big engine in it, of course. It's got the big tires and stuff on it. There's 13 inches of wheel travel up front, 14 inches out back. The thing is a monster. There's a very, very simple, a lot of people have been talking about. By the way, it's 11.8 inches of ground clearance. It can, it could ford water 32 inches deep. It's got the fantastic Bilstein shocks, the Bilstein shocks.
Hallelujah.
The Hawk E2 adaptive shocks with nitrogen charged remote reservoirs. They continually adjust to handle the demand, the terrain. They're supposed to be fantastic. Everyone is saying they're better than the Fox shocks, which is great. It just means Ford needs to step up their game or work with Fox or somebody on it. The idea of having a truck this big and this heavy, and Dodge says, you know what it needs? Launch control. and it has one of the easiest ones. Yeah.
Here's how it's worked. You're sitting here as a car guy describing it, and all you can do is smile, mm-hmm. right? And all I can do is giggle and smile. They win. I mean, they accomplished their goal, and neither of us have yet to sit in the vehicle.
Now, it's funny because I think back to the Nissan GTR when that came out as well. And the Nissan GTR, people were like, it doesn't quite have the appearance and it doesn't have a thing, but we love it for what it represents. It just turned out to be a monster of a vehicle, right? You're like, it's big and it's heavy and the aerodynamics aren't great. And it's just it's a 6-cylinder. It's like, what's it going to do? And they're like, no, we did it. We did it with great science and engineering, like all-wheel drive, and the launch control in that thing was awesome. And it was one of the first vehicles to really have that thing. I mean, I drove a bunch of those things over the years, and we just started to love what it represented. And I always joked about like seeing one of them, you know, drive the streets in Santa Monica, and on the side of the road, you know, you see some dude like elbowing his girlfriend going, look at that thing. That's the new GTR. And she's just looking going, I don't know, man. I just see a Honda Accord. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. That's why I've never purchased one.
And, but it ended up representing so much. And I think that's one of the things we love about the TRX is certainly Raptor laid the groundwork for a badass off-road vehicle. And, you know, for the last decade has dominated that area. And then for Dodge to step in and go, if we're going to do it and it's going to be nuts, let's just make it nuts. Like, you know, what should it have?
I mean, and I've been as pissed off as anybody the last 10 or 15 years. They haven't been in that space. And they haven't had anything competitive. But this kind of makes you forget about all.
it does. It's funny.
And that's in their marketing, you know?
I went to that the F-150 event that I talked to you about, and everything there on that F-150 is fantastically thought out. You know, it's like, oh, we put a step here, and we put a ruler here, and we put outlets here, and we want to, you know, and you can plug in here, and it's a touchscreen does this. Everything is so well thought out. And what
it's
I love
just
about
that, they're making advances on the same vehicle year after year after year after year, you know?
Right. And what I love about the TRX is, they said, what does it need to be? It needs to have big power. It needs to be faster off-road, more comfortable on-road. And then somebody said, you know what it doesn't need, but I'd love to have, is is this and this and this, right?
SRT.
It has the very simple, like, single button, like, on the steering wheel launch control. And in its showroom stock massive 6,350-pound form, it'll do 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. Yeah, 4.5 seconds. And by the way, that's before you get a hold of it and do batshit crazy things to it.
Oh, it's going straight to gearhead, stage 3, Goldberg garage. That's a later date, but yes.
But I can't wait to see what that thing does with, I don't know what, 1,000 horsepower. Who knows where you're going to end up. But
a little under, 9 something.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And we'll have to talk to them about that and see what their thoughts are. Did they just add more boost, or are they going to port the supercharger? I think they're porting superchargers and doing their tune and doing some exhaust.
They got some new package out on 93. They're getting 900 out of it.
Yeah. You don't have to brag about your 93 octane over there with Texas.
Oh, boys. I forgot.
I understand. By the way, yeah, all of our TRXs that we're going to get in LA are probably 612 horsepower because
I took the RT out, the 70 black RT, the other day.
Yeah.
And I went to the gas station to put some fuel in it, and it was like, thank you. When I put it was unbelievable. None of these cars have ever had real gas in it.
Yeah.
It's going to be wonderful.
All right. So that's enough on TRX. I think it's going to be fun.
Begrudgingly said by Matt.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait to test one out here. I don't know where to go and what to do with it. I'm just going to run over sidewalks, people's lawns or something like that. I'm going to wreak havoc out here with that thing. But it sounds fantastic. It looks awesome. When I went to the Ford event, somebody was getting ready to leave. I'm sure just somebody, journalist or something, had a bright blue there. I got out of my truck, which is low to the ground, and I parked next to a TRX. And I'm just staring at the rocker panels. I'm just like, this thing is huge. This thing's massive. And I was just laughing. I was like, this is going to be so much fun. It really is going to be fun. So anyway, I love that they're doing that. They're going to have some fun with that.
And I love you to death, but I got to scoot, man.
Yeah, we're wrapping it up right now. Anyway, I think we're good for today. We're going to bring you we got a couple more shows coming up before a holiday break. But everybody have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll chat soon. Thanks, man.
Don't eat too much. Love you, my brother. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Take care.
Be good, bud.
Let's see. I think we're good to go. Chris, what are we missing?
I think we're good. You hit Geico already?
Yeah, we got our ads done. Yeah, we got our show done. We did 35 minutes.
Look, it's Thanksgiving. Let's get
it's
some
Thanksgiving.
Food.
Let's eat. Guys, follow me up on social media, especially for next week. I'm going to do what I can to post as many. I'm going to focus on the driving, but I'm going to see if I can bring somebody along to snap some pictures of all the wonderful McLarens and some upcoming stuff. So follow me at Motorrad on social media. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'll be back in a day or so. Adam Rye will be in the studio bringing more CarCast for you. Before we wrap it up, another word from our friends at Geico. You know, you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing too, because we already know you have so much to do around your home. Just visit Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could be saving. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.